Do you hear that? It's the sound of TD Ameritrade's Education Center working smoothly behind the scenes to curate its own content to your investment goals and interests. Head over to tdameritrade.com/education to start learning. Member SIPC.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, June 1st. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Most people have insurance to cover their health, or insurance to cover their car. Heck, maybe even insurance to cover their pet. But many people, especially those in the middle class, often overlook life insurance to cover the unthinkable.
It was so easy for people to start to invest through mutual funds to get to the stock market that many thought, well, why do I need to pay an annual amount to an insurance company? I'll just save on my own and then there'll be money for my spouse to take care of the children.
But average income Americans who previously felt that life insurance didn't fit their budget are now helping sales grow faster than they have in nearly 40 years. We'll ask our insurance industry reporter Leslie Sism about why after the break.
UKG, when your employees feel supported, your business becomes more than a place of work. It becomes a work of art. And UKG's HR and workforce management solutions can help you create your masterpiece. UKG, our purpose is people.
The insurance industry often targets wealthier families to sell pricey life insurance policies. But recently, individuals and families from a wider range of income classes have been buying life insurance. That got the attention of our insurance industry reporter, Leslie Sism, and she's with us now to discuss the trend. Leslie, thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
So before we get into this trend that's going on, this might be an obvious question, but what are the benefits of having life insurance, and how does it work?
The most basic type of life insurance is what's called term life. This is a policy that pays out a death benefit if the insured person dies during the period of the policy. That's why it's called term life. Terms usually run 10 to 20 years. The buyer pays a set amount per year. This is, as it is the most basic type of insurance, it is typically bought by younger people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s when they are raising children, bought by a mother or father or both parents, so that if one of those wage earners die, there would be a large sum of money that would be available to help that surviving parent pay the mortgage, pay college educations, or cover costs that would otherwise have been funded through the earnings of the parent who's now deceased.
So it can be a good safety net. But what can you tell us about historic trends here? How common is it for people to have a life insurance policy?
The sale of life insurance to individual households has been declining since the 1980s. That corresponds with the rise of mutual funds as a way for families to invest any extra dollars they have. That is the rise of 401ks and other tax advantage savings programs. So as of the 80s and the 90s, a lot of people who ordinarily would have bought life insurance turn to the mutual funds and their 401ks as a way to save for the future. Increasingly, people began to worry more about outliving their savings than dying prematurely. And it was so easy for people to start to invest through mutual funds to get to the stock market that many thought, well, why do I need to pay an annual amount to an insurance company? I'll just save on my own and then there'll be money for my spouse to take care of the children. The problem is many people don't really become rigorous savers, or they can't possibly save as much money as they may need if the death occurs sooner rather than later.
And yet you've reported that in the first quarter, sales of life insurance policies jumped 11% from a year ago. That's according to the research firm LIMRA. And not only that, but the average benefit shrank, which indicates some policies are being sold to households with smaller incomes. So I guess the question becomes, after decades of declines, why are more people buying life insurance now?
The pandemic really brought home to people that death can occur in unexpected ways. people couldn't avoid discussion of death. Every time they turned on the cable television station, there was a chart tracking deaths. So the pandemic really scared people. And I mean, it is also true that many of the deaths have generally been of older people, much, you know, people in their 70s and 80s. This still scared a lot of younger people, and they were more receptive and better prioritized the buying of life insurance.
Now, we've talked before on the show about how areas of finance, like banking and trading, that are looking to attract a broader pool of customers. Is that the same in life insurance as well?
Actually, the life insurance industry started out catering to and focused on very ordinary income families. Some of the giants in the life insurance industry today began in the early 1900s or got bigger in the early 1900s with fleets of agents who walked door to door in immigrant communities selling basic life insurance policies, small policies that often just covered burials. A Tree Grows in Brooklyn is a book and movie that who has a main character who is a life insurance agent who walks door to door in Brooklyn. That's set in the early 1900s. So the industry historically has focused on individuals, but over time, many of these companies gravitated towards selling to the well-to-do. The industry's always wanted to sell more to these middle-class families, and so some in life insurance companies found a silver lining in the pandemic in that it made reaching ordinary income families easier.
Well, let's talk about how people actually are getting life insurance these days. Traditionally, a lot of people got it through their employer, right?
Yes, a lot of people do rely on life insurance policies that they get as a benefit of employment. This is a trend that really began 20 or 30 years ago. Employer-provided life insurance hasn't always been there as a standard feature. It increasingly is a standard benefit. So a lot of people say, geez, I'm getting this benefit at work. Why do I need to go buy a separate policy? During the pandemic, many people lost jobs or that their work hours were reduced. So that benefit went away. And that also helped boost sales of individual life insurance policies because people realized, geez, this insurance I get through my job isn't really always going to be there. I'm going to lose it if I lose my job. So companies that sell policies to individuals gained some sales from people who became fearful they'd lose their job-related benefits, or they did, in fact, lose their job-related benefits.
So how are people buying life insurance now?
Companies are still selling through life insurance agents. Many financial advisors have insurance licenses and will sell policies. There are independent agents out there. Some companies have their own fleets of agents. So those sales are continuing. They became more difficult during the pandemic when people didn't want an agent coming into their house for fear of COVID-19, or there were stay-at-home directives that prevented the agents from perhaps visiting people. The insurance industry typically also has required the collection of blood and urine samples as part of what they call underwriting to gauge the health of the applicant. That helps them determine what price to charge for a policy. So the insurance industry had to do a lot of scrambling during the pandemic to figure out how are we going to make sales if the shutdown orders and stay-at-home directives and simply people's fears of dealing with outside parties.
And so how does that change things for the customer?
So the industry did a lot of revamping of the way they sell. Many more offered online opportunities. And so people could simply go online, click some buttons. The insurance industry generally is willing to sell policies to younger people without these blood and urine samples because most younger people aren't where the illnesses are that would make you a more expensive risk to the insurance company. So, you know, a lot of younger parents are pretty healthy. And the industry caps the size of the policy because they don't want, million-dollar risks if they're not fully underwriting people and collecting blood and urine samples, but they will sell smaller policies. So a lot of smaller policies were being sold. I'm talking about policies that are under $100,000 in death benefit. The industry also was able to make better use of increasingly digitized electronic medical records. You know, many of us now have portals that we deal with or go through when we visit doctors. So there, you know, our health records are available there. Lab tests are available there. So the life insurers have signed up with InsurTech firms that help them tap into these digitized records with the permission of the applicant. So the insurer can pull out data such as your most recent lab work that, you know, maybe you had some lab work done 6 months ago or it was done right before the pandemic. So the insurer can look at your blood pressure readings, your various other vital statistics, and get some of the information that they otherwise would have collected by sending a paramedic to your home to collect the blood and urine samples and do some other medical work right there in your home or, you know, at a meeting spot.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Leslie Sism. Leslie, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.